Greetings, this is Dan White with the media book, The End Time Church, Chapter 77, Forward to the Past. Jewish history is incredible, full of miracles. It's almost like they're God's people or something. After the fall of Solomon's temple, the Jews were deported en masse to Babylon. 70 years after the deportation began, Cyrus allowed the Jews to return to the Holy Land and Jerusalem. Most deported Jews chose not to return. Those Jews in Israel were never again under the throne of David, which sat empty, waiting to be given to him whose right it is. 5 centuries later, the king of the Jews was born. The Jews rejected him and turned him over to Rome to be killed. 40 years after that, Rome destroyed Jerusalem and the Second Temple. Many Jews were killed, and many were taken into slavery. About 6 decades passed before the next Jewish rebellion under Bar Kokhba was crushed by Rome. And Jews were then forbidden to even see Jerusalem. After all that, there were far more Jews outside of the Holy Land than in it, concentrated mainly in the Middle East and Europe. Through the centuries, they suffered repeated persecutions. Hitler's Holocaust was only the latest in a series of persecutions, but it was surely the worst. 3 years after the end of the Holocaust and World War II, the Jews again had their own nation in the Holy Land. 19 years after that, they recaptured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. So in 22 years, the Jews went from being caged and exterminated like rats to regaining their land and their temple area, or rather Yahweh's land and temple area. For whatever reasons, Israel left the temple area under the daily administration of the Muslims. Currently, Jews are working toward building a third temple on the Temple Mount. Now, this seems politically unlikely, but given the miracles that have already occurred, the miracle of a third temple may soon come to pass. In addition to the Jews being back in the Holy Land and controlling the Temple Mount, a number of Jews are now accepting Yeshua as the Messiah, the King of the Jews, and their personal Redeemer. For nearly 2 millennia, Jews overwhelmingly rejected Yeshua as the Messiah. The first flock was all Hebrews. But a century later, Roman-led Gentiles began to take over Christianity. And from that time on, few Jews accepted the risen Messiah. Jews were often persecuted by the Roman Christian Church, and this only cemented their opposition to Christ. Jews returning to the Messiah, the Messianic movement, is a spontaneous movement. It is not controlled by a Roman-type pope or any one particular denomination or human government. And although they risk being cast out and shunned by their families, a steady flow of Jews continues to return to the King of the Jews. As with the return of the Jews to Israel and the Temple Mount, this also is a modern miracle. Moreover, many who are not Jews are grafting into this movement. Church denominations that teach the Sabbath and feasts may spend millions of dollars trying to recruit people into their churches. However, instead of adding many members to their own groups, these denominations may just hold even or even shrink in numbers. On the other hand, the Messianic movement in its varied subgroups without anyone spending millions on media and promotion, without any really big-name evangelists. That movement grows steadily. Now, the new converts are sometimes burdened by a fascination with Judaism, trying to follow the Messiah while following the Pharisees. But as yet, they have not been hamstrung by the Corinthian fleshly fad of denominationalism. Okay, those in the Messianic movement then began to learn about Yahweh's feasts. Mainstream Christians applaud as the Jews accept Christ. But because of that, Christians then become aware of the feasts. How can they fault the Jews for keeping the same worship time as the Pentecost Jews? Like, you know, Peter, James, and John. So while mainstream Christians persist in their Roman holidays, their noses are rubbed in the Bible festivals. So the Jews came back to the Holy Land. Some Jews are accepting Yeshua as the Messiah. And here is another modern miracle. Just as Yahweh brought the Jews back to the Holy Land, so he is bringing spiritual Israel, both Jews and Gentiles, back to his feasts. For centuries, few outside of the Jews were concerned at all about the Bible feasts. It was impossible for Christians on the western side of the globe to know of a new moon half a world away in Israel. Now, they certainly could have observed a new moon wherever they were and set months and feasts by that. But the reality is that the feasts and Sabbath were so despised by Roman Christianity that up until the 20th century, few Christians bothered with the feasts. In fact, most Christians, including Sabbath-keeping Christians, viewed the feasts as tantamount to sin, like trying to earn your salvation. So it didn't matter to them when the feasts were, other than a few observing Passover by the Pharisee Jewish calendar. Now, events have brought the feast to the attention of the world. The tiny nation of Israel is continuously in the news, and the battle over Jerusalem has the attention of the whole world. People around the globe now hear of Passover every year. They know about Yom Kippur. And the biggest Christian messianic Sukkot gathering in the world is in Jerusalem. And on the other hand, almost every Christian now knows that Christmas is not really the time of Christ's birth. They know that the name Easter is from Ishtar, and they know that Halloween is not really a hallowed evening. Some few Christians are then motivated to go beyond the Roman festivals back to the Bible feasts. And with the drive to build another temple, the focus on the feasts will increase. Why should Yahweh pull people away from following the Romans and their holidays just to send them to the Pharisees and their feast days? Are the Pharisees better than the Romans? No. The Romans and the Pharisee Jews both tried and crucified the Messiah. Roman Christianity accepted the doctrines and practices of the Roman Empire. The Pharisees simply became Judaism, and both widespread religions continue today. Yahweh is not leading people back to either Rome or Judaism. Rome substituted the Roman High Day Sunday for the Sabbath. Rome replaced tabernacles and Passover feasts with Christmas and Easter. Then, only one generation after Constantine's Council of Nicaea, the Pharisees officially replaced the observed temple feasts with their calculated days. Both Rome and the Pharisees thought they were doing right, but they exalted their own thoughts above God's words. Genesis 3, the woman said to the serpent, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You won't surely die." End quote. Satan said to Eve, "You won't surely die for disobeying God." And Christ tied the Pharisees right back to that original lie of Satan. John 8:44, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and doesn't stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks on his own, for he is a liar and its father." End quote. The idea that you can ignore, overrule, or otherwise disregard God's word and get away with it is a lie. Both the Romans and the Pharisees bought that lie. Overruling God's words always seems so reasonable. Exalted human reason is the reason humans fall. So amazingly, in one generation, both Christians and Jews did away with Yahweh's holy days. All that was no accident, but was part of Satan's plan to deceive, appealing to self-exalting human reason. And it is no accident that today, just as Yahweh brought the Jews back to the Holy Land, so he is bringing people back to his feasts. Before the King of the Jews was born 2 millennia ago, Herod the Great beautified the temple. Herod thought he was King of the Jews, so he tried to kill the baby Yeshua when Herod slaughtered all the baby boys around Bethlehem. However, this beastly man unwittingly prepared the temple for the coming of the king by enlarging and enhancing it. Likewise, before the king returns, the spiritual temple, his flock, is returning to his feasts, the times when his people are closest to him, to beautify his spiritual temple. But mark this for certain. God is not bringing people back to the Roman Christians. God is not bringing people back to the Roman Christmas to prepare for his son's return. In the same way, he is not bringing people back to the Pharisee feasts to prepare for his son's return. To prepare for his son's return, God is bringing people back to him. The feasts they learn will be Yahweh's feasts, as they were at the temple. These will be the original feast days, set by God himself in his creation, as now admitted by the Pharisees themselves, and to some degree also by Romish Christians. All of this is absolutely incredible, yet this is what has happened and is happening. At the temple, festivals were set by observing when the new moon began a new month. Sighting of the new moon was announced by the priests to the people. With the fall of the temple and the priesthood, self-appointed rabbis took over the function of announcing the new months. The rabbis gradually, however, switched from announcing the feasts to setting the feasts. They switched to a calculated festival system while still going through the pretense of observation. Finally, under Roman persecution, the Jews devolved solely to their calculated system. They actually changed the feast days while pretending to keep them. Moreover, over time, they added their postponements based on human reason. If they didn't think a festival holiday should be held next to a weekly Sabbath, they postponed it. Why are they called postponements? Because they took it upon themselves to postpone God's holy days. Just as Jeroboam postponed the Feast of Tabernacles by 1 month. Can the Pharisees do that? Can they really change the holy day because they don't think it's right? Well, your answer to that depends on your religion. Do you follow God, or do you follow humans who say they're following God? Since Yahweh gave no such commandments anywhere in his Bible to postpone his holy days, the rabbis elevated themselves above El Shaddai, God Almighty. Their reason ruled over his. All of this put the Pharisees in charge of the feasts. Quote, "You have made the commandment of God void because of your tradition," Christ said in Matthew 15. And they did just that when they changed the holy days from God's days to their days. Their traditions made Yahweh's days void. Again, before the return of his son, God is not bringing the flock back to Rome or Judaism, whether Christmas or the Pharisee calendar. We can now accurately know when the months really began in the Holy Land. And this just shows how remiss the Jewish calendar is. The Pharisee Jewish calendar often calculates a new moon. And people in Israel can look up and see, hey, ain't no new moon up there. This happens repeatedly. And this motivates people, including the Pharisees, to return to the temple system when there really is a new moon up there. Yes, even the Pharisee rabbis themselves intend to return to that system simply because it is biblical and their calculated calendar is not biblical. The Jewish calendar is just Pharisaical, full of complicated, convoluted, confusing rabbi regulations. In temple times, the Jews made a new month known by lighting fires from hilltop to hilltop. In this age of instant communications, the festival fires can now be lit worldwide, instantly announcing electronically a new moon from the Holy Land. And a number of Christians now observe the feasts by that knowledge. Most do not. When the Pharisee rabbis themselves change back to the temple festivals, what will these Christian feast keepers do? Will they follow the Pharisees back to the temple feast days? Or will they only follow the Pharisees when they forsook the temple feast days? Or they can go ahead and decide to follow God directly. Since they are God's feasts, and not the Jews' feasts, and not the Pharisees' feasts. They can keep Yahweh's feasts that he sets by his signs, as he said in Genesis 1:14. However, it is hard, very hard, for people to change their religious traditions. Roman Christianity was faced with pagans who wanted to be Christian without giving up their paganism. Rome gave in and renamed the pagan practices to make them Christian. In like manner, Christians who have long observed the festivals set by the Pharisee Jewish calendar are loath to leave them. And they now face the same test as the early Christians who hated leaving Rome's days. Do we follow God directly, or do we follow a religious authority? During the 2020 China virus pandemic, which began in the spring, the Roman Pope gave permission to Roman Christians to skip giving up meat on Fridays for the pre-Easter Lent season. How compassionate. However, none of that comes from the Bible. Lent is not from the Bible, Easter is not from the Bible, and the Pope is not from the Bible. That's all just human-created religion. In the same way, the Jewish Talmud is not from the Bible, and the Pharisee Jewish calendar, just like the Talmud, is not from the Bible. That's all just human-created religion. Now, following a pope or a rabbi looks religious, sounds religious, seems religious. Halloween, Christmas, and Easter seem very religious, and most of the world follows that. And speaking of the so-called inspired Jewish calendar seems very religious, and most festival goers go by that. But all that is just the religion of human reason, the traditions of men put above the Word of God. Following a human religion always seems more religious than just following God. But following any religious authority between you and God is not following God. Following a pope or a rabbi is not following God. The only way to truly follow God is to follow God. And that's what we're called to do. This is what Christians and Messianics and believers in Christ look forward to. Acts 1, when Christ had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they were looking steadfastly into the sky as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white clothing, who also said, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Yeshua, who was received up from you into the sky, will come back in the same way as you saw him going into the sky." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. Christ's feet were returned to the same Mount of Olives that they left from. Many now understand that God's feasts outline his plan for his people. And when the feet of Christ split the Mount of Olives, the flock of Christ will soon be keeping Sukkoth with him. Zechariah 14:4, his feet will stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, making a very great valley. Half of the mountain will move toward the north and half to the south. Verse 6, it will happen in that day that there will not be light, cold, or frost. It will be a unique day, which is known to Yahweh, not day, not night, but it will come to pass that at evening time there will be light. It will happen in that day that living waters will go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half of them toward the western sea. In summer and winter it will be. Yahweh will be king over all the earth. In that day Yahweh will be one and his name one. Verse 16, it will happen that everyone who is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tents. It will be that whoever of all the families of the earth doesn't go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, Yahweh of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt doesn't go up and doesn't come, neither will it rain on them. This will be the plague with which Yahweh will strike the nations that don't go up to keep the Feast of Tents. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that don't go up to keep the Feast of Tents. End quote. Now, when does all this happen? When will the nations begin to go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles? When? Right after the King arrives. Why wait? The King is here. Go up to worship the King. Psalm 47, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with the voice of triumph, for Yahweh Most High is awesome. He is great King over all the earth. He subdues nations under us and peoples under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob whom he loved. God has gone up with a shout, Yahweh with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praise to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples are gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. End quote. No better time to sing praises to God than at his appointed times. Just as the first flock waited for that Feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, in 30 CE, so the last flock waits for the first Feast of Sukkoth in the Kingdom of God to worship with the returned King. And when the Messiah comes again, and the world keeps the Feast of Tabernacles with him, that feast will not be calculated, regulated, or postdated by the Pharisees. That feast will be set by the King, Isaiah 66, from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says Yahweh. End quote. Again, the feasts are Yahweh's set times when his people are closest to him. His set times were kept during temple times. Then there was a long period when most lost sight of his times and kept the days set by Rome or Judaism. Now we are beginning to return to the way it was at the temple, when Christians look directly to God to set the times for his people. We are going forward to the past. The way it will be is the way it was. We are seeing marvelous miracles in these wretched modern times. One of these is that just as in temple times, we can know when Yahweh's set times are. The whole world can know when they are, as the electronic bonfire signals fly out from the hills around Jerusalem to the farthest reaches of humanity.